Father, this morning we wait expectantly on the blessings that you have promised us. Open our hearts now, Father, as we listen to your word. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine just for a few moments today that you grew up under oppression. And I'm talking about political oppression. The government strictly controls and monitors virtually everything. You can live only in specified areas set aside for your specific ethnic group. You're not allowed on all public transportation or in even all restrooms. The best parks, beaches, hotels, restaurants, etc. are inaccessible to you. Certain jobs and schools are restricted all because of oppression. You can be imprisoned if you marry someone of a different ethnicity. You cannot go to just any church, and you get physically beaten up by police. Yes, friends, in case you forgot, I grew up in the infamous South Africa. It used to be called the skunk of all nations. Are you aware of that? That was during the years of apartheid. I grew up there under the oppression that I just described. And I haven't even begun to mention what many others have gone through and suffered under the terror of oppression, including the death of a schoolmate of mine, and worse yet, the spiritual death of a very, very close friend, all because of the oppression that he suffered. And thus, what a joy, what a relief, what a wonderful day it was 10 years ago, some of you might recall, 1994, when South Africa, the country of my birth, eventually had a transition from oppression to inclusion, from apartheid to democracy, from tyranny to a free society. Nelson Mandela. You've heard the name? What a man. Now, I know, as Bible-believing Seventh-day Adventists, we will not agree with all the methods he believed in and the methods he used in his struggle to end the oppression in my country. But no matter whether we agree or disagree with some of the methods he used, Nelson Mandela will go down in history as the hero, the major hero in the liberation of the Republic of South Africa. So I want to be honest with you and tell you, I believe, only to some degree, maybe a small degree, empathize with those ancient Israelites as they must have felt when they lived in Egypt. Now, I want you to listen for a moment to how this was described by somebody who understood it himself. In time, Joseph and each of his brothers died, ending that generation. Then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He told his people, this is the king, those Israelites are becoming a threat to us because there are so many of them. These Israelites, we must find a way to put an end to this. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves and put brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down under heavy burdens. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more quickly the Israelites multiplied. The Egyptians soon became alarmed and decided to make their slavery more bitter still. And then Pharaoh went to the midwives. You remember Shiphrah and Puah, and said, when you help the Hebrew women give birth, kill all the boys as soon as they are born. Allow only the baby girls to live. And of course, these women didn't do that. And remember his final attempt? Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Throw all the newborn Israelite boys into the Nile River, but you may spare the baby girls. You remember the story of oppression? You remember how Moses was spared that fate? I was reading, by the way, from Exodus 1 from the New Living Translation. I wanted you to listen to the way it is phrased in that. This, by the way, is the background, is the context of our study time today. Now, you know the rest of the story. Moses, by the way, he was an ancient Nelson Mandela. Because as you know, Moses tried his own methods to redeem his people, methods that didn't work. So we might not agree with Mandela's methods altogether, and we don't agree with everything Moses did either. Okay? But, so Moses was this ancient redeemer for his people. This is the context for our study today. And I want us to spend some time looking at that. Already we have read our scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Turn there in your Bibles, or you can look at the front of your bulletins today. Deuteronomy 11, verse 1 is an interesting phrase. Notice how it is stated. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and almost every translation brings this out. I'm reading specifically from the New King James Version this morning. I shared from the New Living Translation just to give you the flavor in more contemporary language. But for our Bible study together, I'm using the New King James. Verse 1, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always. Wait a minute, how can love be commanded? You get the idea? Wait a minute, how can you tell me what I must do? How can you say, therefore you shall? But notice, verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, what does Moses immediately do? He says, hold on, don't get all uppity about this. When I say you shall love, let me remind you of why you should love. Because know today, or remember today, that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, His greatness, His mighty hand, His outstretched arms. Then he continues, His signs and His acts which He did in the midst of Israel to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now Moses goes and he recaps and he says, hold on, let me tell you why I am, quote unquote, telling you, you shall love. And he reminds them of everything God had done. Guess what? He gets down to verse 8. He says, therefore, he repeats that, therefore, because of what God has done, therefore, you shall keep every commandment. And he continues, it's incredible. You know, so many times we, as Seventh-day Adventists, have been faced with a charge of legalism. Has anybody heard that? Seventh-day Adventists are legalists, okay? Now the question comes up, what do we respond? Many times we think of that beautiful phrase of Jesus in John 14, verse 15, when people say, are you legalists? What do we say? What does Jesus say? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And then they respond, the people who just charged us, and say, uh-huh. But you Seventh-day Adventists, you make a big emphasis on the Old Testament, don't we? Yes, we study it deeply, we follow many of the things, and then the response is what? The Old Testament is legalistic. Have you noticed all the laws? In fact, one of the books, Deuteronomy. Nomos is a Greek word. Deuter is second. The second book of the law. Deuteronomy. The Old Testament is saturated with legalism. Have you ever heard that charge? Yes. But you know what's interesting? This is what's fascinating. This is one reason I love to read the Bible, even just for personal devotions. You keep learning. And I can almost, well, I should say it embarrassedly, if I can use the term embarrassedly. I had been a Seventh-day Adventist for maybe 20, 30 years before I noticed this verse. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus 20. Exodus 20. Some of you, most of you might have seen this before, but you know when the charge of legalism is made, and then we are told, oh, you are legalists because you follow a lot of the Old Testament laws. And then, after reading the Bible, suddenly one day, Exodus 20, verse 6, popped out at me, and I'd never seen it before. Even though I had, as a child, even memorized it in our church schools. Notice Exodus 20, verse 6. What does it say? But showing mercy to thousands of them who what? Who love me and keep my commandments. And like a new revelation to me, by the way, that's why it's so exciting to read the Bible. I said, wait a minute. This idea of love coming before keeping the commandments is where? Right in the heart of the Ten Commandments. I said, I didn't know that. So it's not simply going to the New Testament where Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But it's right there, showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Oh, wonderful discovery for me. I was excited. I shared it with my students when I taught. And you know what? Last year, I discovered something more. Go to the book of Daniel now for my next discovery. A discovery for me. Again, some of you might have seen this. But you know, as you read the scriptures, as you dig, you see these beautiful gems. Remember, this is the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 9. Is it legalistic law-keeping? Let's go to Daniel 9. Daniel, this great prophet of the Lord. And by now, you know, a lot of the prophecies have been given in chapter 2, chapter 7, chapter 8. Here in chapter 9, we find Daniel praying during the first year of Darius. chapter 9, verse 1, and did you know what? For the first time in the entire book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, only here in Daniel chapter 9, for the very first time, does Daniel ever use the personal covenant name of God, the Lord. Notice in your Bible the capital L, small capital O-R-D. Did you notice that? If you look at other places, you'll find capital L, small O-R-D. In the Bibles, it is specifically put capital L and then small caps, O-R-D. That is the term for Jehovah or Yahweh. Here is the personal name of God appearing for the first time in the book of Daniel. Chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 2. Now notice chapter 9, verse 4, where again, where he is praying. He says, I prayed to Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, my God, and made confession and said, now notice his prayer. O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy to those who what? To those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. I said, oh, it's right here. Daniel had the sequence right all along. Yes, those who love him. But now it sounds a little different, to love him and with those who keep. My translation says to those who love him and almost comma, yes, and with those, like it's a different group. Guess what, folks? This is a phrase right out of Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I went back. This is where learning the languages helps and sometimes looking at other translations. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and you'll find what happens there. Because actually, Daniel, I believe, under inspiration, is quoting from Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. And the reason I say that, the words are identical except for one missing letter of one word. It was just spelled differently. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9, I believe Daniel is quoting chapter 7 verse 9 where he says, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God. Notice, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who what? Love him and keep his commandments. Over and over again, we find the same sequence. Those who love and keep. Love and keep. Notice, it is not showing mercy to those who simply keep it legalistically. It is love, keep. Here's the love relationship. Now, this phrase you'll find just a page or two before. In Deuteronomy 5, as you well know, go back to Deuteronomy 5, because this is the repeating of the law. Moses, under inspiration, as he was making his final farewell address, is talking here, again, reminding them of what God had done. And here in chapter 5, verse 10, Moses reiterates, chapter 5, verse 10 of Deuteronomy, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. God's words, love and keep. Notice again, love and keep. By the way, did you notice the interesting thing here? Showing mercy to thousands. In chapter 7, verse 9, it says, showing mercy to 1,000 what? Generations. Now, some Bibles have taken the word generations from chapter 7 and have put it back in chapter 5 because it's implied. How do we know it's implied? Go back to the previous verse, chapter 5, verse 9. Because this one sounds very harsh. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And you say, third and fourth generation, wow. But then notice the next verse. But showing mercy to thousands of what? Thousands of generations. It's implied in the context, and verse chapter 7, verse 9 shows the difference. God shows mercy to thousands of generations who love me and keep. A complete difference between his retribution and his love. His love clearly surpasses it. It's incredible. As you study the Old Testament, you will find love coming before keep. Repeatedly, folks. Showing mercy to thousands of those who what? Love me and keep my commandments. Now, you know what? Sometimes I know God knows we are hard of hearing. Isn't that true? Spiritually. And so God has to put it in different language. Not only does God say, love and keep, love and keep, love and keep. He uses other words like love and serve. Let's look at a few more examples. Chapter 11, verse 13. We read that this morning on the front of our bulletins. You'll notice again the two terms there, love and serve. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Today we're doing more of a Bible study to see what is the answer to this question. Because, you know, when we think about it, we've studied and we've looked at the wonderful message of salvation by Jesus. We had that during coming out through His resurrection when we studied about the Easter message. Now, what does that mean for people who have been rescued by Jesus, redeemed by Him? And here is our message today. That's why we're looking at the Bible. Is this legalism or is this a response of love? Chapter 11, verse 13. And again, I'm reading now from the front of our bulletins. And maybe you can read it with me because all of us have the same translation. That second verse. Let's read that together as we did in our scripture reading. Ready? And it shall come about if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. And it continues about the blessings that He will give us. Now notice, love and serve with all your heart and your soul. Folks, this is not legalism. It's loving loyalty. Now what's interesting, by the way, the book of Deuteronomy, the entire book, when you look at it, never, never is love spoken about in the same way it is spoken about in the book of Hosea. Now, many of you know the book of Hosea. Here's a story of God expressing His love for His people in a relationship of husband and wife. Remember that story of Hosea and his wife? And God is talking about Israel as His wife who was unfaithful. The book of Hosea has a concept of love between a husband, God, and the wife, Israel. The book of Hosea also has the word love in the context, in chapter 11, of a father and a son. It's a family situation. Did you know what? Deuteronomy, there is no trace of family love in the book. Now I'm not saying no trace of family relationships. When the word love is used in Deuteronomy, it is never in the context of husband, wife, or father, son. Love in Deuteronomy is always in relationship of a covenant, of a treaty. And why do you think so? Because the book of Deuteronomy is to remind the Israelites of the God who redeemed them from slavery. And the God who rescues them is the God who requires them to follow His will. Now let me ask you, how many of you have suffered oppression? Raise your hands high. I see a few hands going up. I notice I use the broad term oppression. And that could be any kind of oppression. All right? Not just political oppression. It could be physical oppression. It could be emotional abuse. It could be perhaps oppression at work. Okay? Now, when I use the word oppression, we think of Romans chapter 6, where Paul says, those of you who are willing to subjugate yourself to something, become slaves to what you are willing to be slaves to. Remember Romans 6:16? And sometimes we become slaves to our desires. You know what I'm talking about? Okay? Habits that entrap us. And we become slaves, whether it be television or food or whatever it be. We become slaves to it. Now I'm going to ask the question again. How many of you have ever suffered from oppression? Let me see the hands now. There are a few more hands going up, many more hands. You know what I'm talking about? And so when we talk about oppression, we're talking about it in the broader sense here. And when we have been rescued from our habits or oppression, we want to give glory and we want to follow the one who can save us, don't we? Incidentally, just this week, something caught my attention and was very, very sad. Her name was Susan Stokes. And she was on television talking about her concern for her brother. I don't remember his name. He was a convicted sex offender. He had been in trouble with the law since 1974, 30 years. He was in jail for 8 years and for multiple offenses, and he hadn't yet been tried. But on a technicality, his lawyers were able to get him released. And I remember watching the morning news when I saw Susan Stokes come on and say these words. You know, he's my brother, but he's a danger. And then she said four words. He will never change. And I listened to those words. He will never change. And as I watched the news, I thought, Wow! If I read my Bible correctly, what do I find out? What does the Bible say? God can make anyone a new creature. What do you say? And I watched that and I thought, what a shame, what a pity. And she was adamant. He will never change. The only place for him is to be locked up forever. What a sad story. Now we think of that, but you know what? When I read my Bible, the Apostle Paul is very fair. He lumps people who are in that category of Susan Stokes' brother. He lumps us all together, even with people who aren't kind to each other. You look at 1 Corinthians, he lumps the greedy, the covetous, all together with sex offenders. So we aren't any better than anybody else. We are all in need of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The story in Deuteronomy is repeated. When you have been redeemed from sin, you will love and serve him. Look at a few more verses here. Not only love and serve, do you know what? God is trying to say, listen, you don't get the picture yet. Go to Deuteronomy 11 verse 22, just a few verses down. Or as we again read today here on our bulletins, let's go down to the next one on our bulletin, the fourth verse there, and maybe you can read this with me. Because here God is saying it in another way. He has said love and keep. Then he has said love and serve. Now he says it in another way. Let's read that verse. For if you are careful to keep all this commandment, which I am commanding you to do it, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him. Notice, God is saying, love and keep, love and serve. Now he says what? Love and walk. He's saying, listen, I'm trying to get this through to you. Love and serve, love and keep, love and walk. And that's not the only one. One more verse, Deuteronomy chapter 30. One more example here of this repeated concept that God is getting through. In this, the second book of the law, and I would like to rename it, instead of Deuteronomy, I'd like to call it Deuteragape. What is Deuteragape? The second book of love. That's right. Constantly God brings us in the right sequence. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice. Notice the sequence. Love, what comes next? Obey. And then he carries on. That you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Love, obey, and cling. Doesn't it remind you of the words of Jesus in John 15 verse 5? What does he say? If you abide in me, I will abide in you. Because he says, without me you can do nothing. John chapter 15, Jesus says, you can do nothing without me. We must cling to him. By the way, Joshua repeats this. Turn with me in your Bible so you can know. This is not just Deuteronomy. By the way, there are many passages we can refer to. Just a quick example. Joshua 22 verse 5. And other books continue the same trend on. You find it in Ecclesiastes, in Micah. I've already shown you Daniel. It's in the book of Psalms. It's in the Bible. This concept of love and keep, love and serve, love and walk, love and obey. Joshua chapter 22 verse 5. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Stop there. How do you do it? Now he kind of explains it. What do? Okay? To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast, to cling to him, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Over and over again, folks, the message is love and keep, love and serve, love and walk, love and obey. Legalism? Not on your life. This is loving loyalty. God is constantly calling us, I have rescued you, therefore. Now do you see why the Bible says, therefore thou shalt love? When you recognize what you've been pulled out of, you want to love God. But you know what? God doesn't give up at that point either. God goes further. He says, you still don't get the message, huh? Remember the miracles I performed? Now I want to give you one more quick thing. And we're going to quickly look at a few others. He doesn't just say love and this, love and that. He also uses another term, fear. Joshua chapter 24. We're in the book of Joshua. Just go to a couple chapters later. The well-known chapter 24 where Joshua calls upon them to choose you this day whom you will serve. Well-known verse 15. But go back one verse before that. Notice the sequence in chapter 24, verse 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord. By the way, when we say fear, what do you think of immediately in modern terms? Fear. Fear in modern terms. Afraid. That's right. Afraid. Now I noticed that Otto said respect. But you must remember, folks, Otto has been around a long time with us. Otto is in his 80s, so he thinks of respect. That's right. But in our modern language, fear means afraid, okay? But it used to mean, in ancient times, older generations, fear meant respect, reverence, honor, awe, okay? So when Otto says respect, yes. But in modern days, we say fear, we are afraid. But remember, it means respect and awe. Let's look at that verse. Thou shalt fear the Lord, or respect Him, honor Him, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And then afterwards it says, choose you this day. So what comes first? Respect, honor, serve, and then He says, now choose you this day. Let me show you this back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 13. We want to return briefly to finish our Bible study in the book of Deuteronomy, showing hopefully conclusively that this book, Deuter Agape, the book of the law of love, is saturated with the way God calls upon us to live for Him. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him and shall take oaths in His name. By the way, I checked other translations. Do you know what? The New Century Version, which is written for children, says, you shall respect the Lord your God. Yes, Otto, you're right. Respect the Lord your God. Today's English version says, you shall honor the Lord your God. And the New English Translation, which just came out a few years ago, says, you shall revere the Lord your God. And I checked the dictionary. Yes, fear means afraid. But the second definition is to have a reverential awe. So God calls upon us to do two things. To love and obey, but also to respect and obey. And He repeats that. To fear and to serve. To fear and to walk. To fear and to obey Him. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, which actually combines both concepts. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 actually asks the question, and now Israel, what does the Lord require of you? By the way, does it remind you of another text in Micah chapter 6, verse 8? Some of you are shaking your heads. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice? Remember that verse? Right here in in Deuteronomy, Moses is writing. He says, what does the Lord require of you? Here it is. But to fear or to respect the Lord your God, to walk in His ways. There it is. First, honor, awe, respect, and walk. So there it is, the first sequence. Fear, respect, and walk. And then, he doesn't stop there. And to love Him and to serve the Lord with all your God, with all your heart, and with all your soul. Brothers and sisters, here it is very clear. The Old Testament, I would suggest, from my brief survey here, is saturated with the love that God has for us because He has redeemed us and He calls upon us to respect Him and to love and keep His commandments. Legalistic law keeping in the Old Testament, not on your life. It is loving loyalty to the God that has redeemed us. I know many of us have been raised as Christians. Many of us have been raised in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Some have come in from different denominations. Some have come out perhaps from the secular world. But you know what? I don't know of anyone who hasn't struggled with different kinds of oppression or addictions or habits, whether they be real habits or sometimes secret habits of the heart. Sometimes things that people see, sometimes things that only God sees. But you know what? I am so happy that Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 refers to Jesus as the one who will save what? His people, what? From their sins. Not in their sins. Notice, Jesus is the one who saves His people from their sins. And incidentally, in case you might have forgotten, guess what? The Jesus of the New Testament, as clearly revealed in the New Testament, is the Jehovah, the Yahweh of the Old Testament. That Jesus is the one who led the Israelites, who redeemed them from physical slavery. It's the same Jesus. This is the Jesus who saved Israel, and this is the Jesus who saved you. Now my question, the New Testament says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And as we reflect upon what Jesus has done for us, we look back on Easter, His resurrection, and His resurrection was only there because He lived a sinless life for you and me. He was resurrected, and because of that, we have the hope of the resurrection. But you know what else, folks? He saved us from sin, and He is calling us to respond in awe, in honor, in respect, in reverence, in love. And because we love Him, we will choose to follow Him everywhere He leads us. What do you say? Yes, that's the kind of God we serve. And today, as I look at the Old Testament, a brief study, I would like to finish with one verse. It captures the call of God. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. A beautiful call. This is God. Remember, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. Remember, God is a Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they work together as one. But the New Testament reveals that the active agent was Jesus Christ working there through those and with those Israelites. And here, notice the call from Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 29. And incidentally, this verse comes soon after the reiteration of the Ten Commandments. Notice the context. Here is Moses repeating the words of God, and what does God say? Oh, that they had such a heart. Notice where it begins, folks. Where does it start? In the heart. Is it legalism? What do you say? No, it cannot be. God says, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear, respect, reverence me, and what? And always keep all my commandments, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. Wow, what a call. What a desire of our loving God. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus, folks? Oh, yes, we love Him. And so my call today, let us by His grace and to His glory, let us determine, because of what He has done for us, because He has redeemed us, let us today determine that we will live for Him, we will love Him, and keep all of His commandments. If that is your desire, I want to actually ask you, if you want to show that out of gratitude to our Redeemer, would you raise your hand today and say, I want to follow You, Father, all of the way, because I love You. Shall we pray? Thank You, Lord, for the raised hands today. Thank You for this beautiful book, Deuteragape, the second book of love, the book of the love of Your law. We have quickly reviewed the many statements where You have called upon us to love and to follow You. Thank You for redeeming us from addictions, from habits, from evil, from sin. Thank You for Jesus. In His precious name, we will live for You and keep Your law, because we love You. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.